Welcome to 25 Minutes to Surrender, your favorite League of Legends fan podcast. Today is Sunday, October 2nd, 2011, and this is Season 2, Episode 4. Here's your host, Jamal.
All right, and welcome to another episode of 25 MTS. I'm your host, Jay Mazin. We have the, hopefully you can hear a bit of a sound difference. We're trying something new out, so I want the guys, the fans, to let us know what you think. We have the usual cast of characters here. We have Not As Bad As You, McHugh.
What's going on?
We have Root.
Hey, what's up?
And Kyle Masona.
Hey, guys.
Team Sex Copter could not be here with us today. So Team Sex Copter had to do a book report or something like that. School is good or something like that. So he's going to, yeah, he had to do some schoolwork. So anyway, we're going to have him do that. All right, so we're going to just jump right into the episode. So Dominion went live this week. And everyone, all of us had a chance to play Dominion. Let's start from the top and let's go down to the bottom. Well, actually, I guess I'll start then. Oh, actually, Greg, go for it. What has been your experience so far in Dominion?
So I've played about 60 Dominion games, and I mean, my overall experience is it's different from Summoner's Rift and even Twisted Tree Line. It's just a different game. You start off, you know, level 3, you start off with 1,300 gold. There's new items, and there's items that you can't access. It kind of feels like League of Legends several patches ago when the OP-ness was Irelia, Renekton, and all the tanky DPS, because almost every other champion on the map seems to be lacking when compared to like Akali and Jax specifically. Those two champions seem to be really OP. Shaco seems to be really OP. It's just an interesting game. Like, you come out you kind of come out swinging, and you don't stop. Like, if Summoner's Rift is like a boxing match, I'd say Dominion's more like a UFC bout.
I could kind of agree with that. Like, since I've been playing Dominion, first of all, I'm obviously playing Karthus because he's the best character in the game. That's just without any question. But it's been really, really fun. I think that it needs a lot more teamwork than actually Summoner's Rift. I was talking to someone earlier today. I was saying, he was like, well, what do you think about Dominion? And I was like, I think it requires more teamwork because you have to constantly be talking to your teammate, going back and forth, like communicating, hey, we're going top, hey, there's three people top, hey, I need some help here, hey, somebody rotate to bottom, and things of that sort. Whereas with Summoner's Rift, you can just be, okay, I'm going to solo farm top for the next 20 minutes, and I'll come down there and win the game. You know, that's one of the things that I've been noticing. Rude, what about yourself?
Yeah, I feel the same way. Like, maybe this is what they meant League of Legends to be originally. Vayne's really strong, and it's really surprising. Every game I've seen her, and she's just crushing. Jax, Akali, yeah, really good. I've been playing Tryndamere, just because I don't want to play Jax too much, because he's too OP. Yeah, it really puts objectives in the map, and makes such a fast-paced game. I haven't gotten bored of it yet. Like, I can play like 15 in a row. I don't even care.
Yeah, have you tried Yorick yet on that map?
I have not tried Yorick, but I've been crushed by him.
Yeah, Yorick is absolutely insane on that map. Like, the fact that how many goals he can put out, it's like, you have a 3v1 summon, and he's just such a strong disabled.
Yeah, you can't stop him. You need to send, like, three people there. He just keeps making the goals, and it's really apparent when one team is better than the other team, because they just crush them from, like, the first minute that you're fighting, and a lot of the times I've seen it just snowball downhill for one team. So there needs to be some sort of balancing done, because it feels like if you get the OP team and you just force a fight at top, like, you can just win the game.
Yeah, one of the interesting things about, you know, the better team being able to kind of crush is I've also seen more comebacks in this game than I have in Summoner's Rift. That's probably the most attractive part about playing Dominion to me, is I've seen games where the enemy Nexus has 400 health, we have, like, sub 100 health, and we've come back and won. Yeah, I mean, and as far as balancing goes, like, that's really up to Riot. Like, they can't balance all of the champions in the game for three maps, because I think what they like to do with their balancing is they balance the map around Summoner's Rift, and sure, that leaves, like, champions like Mundo and Jax OP on, like, Twisted Tree Line and Dominion, but if you start balancing champions for each map, then you kind of get into an ugly situation where you can't really have a truly balance, you can't actually balance all three maps with the same set of 80 champions or whatever it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, babe, yeah, sorry, that's a core problem that I've thought this game has had since the beginning. I don't like that they keep releasing champions. It's makes it too difficult to balance. But yeah, I've seen so many close games too on Dominion. Yeah, crushing defeats and amazing comebacks. I was in one where like 70 or something, and then 60, and they had like 400, and we just win one team fight, and then they can't stop us. It's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, Kyle, what's been your experience so far?
Pretty much the same. I mean, I thought Greg, when he said he played 60 games, was a lot, and then I realized I played for 10 hours the second day straight. It was a beta, which is about 30 games in one day. I mean, it's very fast-paced, it's very fun. Udyr's not as good as I would like him to be, which is a shame, but I've been playing Akali, and she's a beast. I'm surprised none of you guys have mentioned Maokai, because he gets on a point, and you cannot take that point. It's so ridiculous, because he just throws down his ult, and he pretty much never dies.
Wait a minute, I mean, I haven't played much tree on this map. I've only got a chance, because I don't play tree, and I don't play tree often at all. So I haven't really even thought about playing Maokai. I've just been getting my cards on, like, that character. Oh my goodness.
Well, I think the best characters in Dominions are ones that force more than one player of the opposing team off a point. Like Shaco, the best Shacos I've seen, will hide near one of the opposing team's two core points and just decap it. And then they'll put like a ton of boxes in a nearby bush or near the health, and they'll just decap the point and then hide in their box. And somebody comes by, they'll just harass them until they walk into the box and explode. It takes two people at that point to kill them. Same with Maokai. If you want to take a point from him, you need to have two people do it.
Well, the best Shaco I've seen so far is not as bad as you. What has been your Shaco-ness on Dominion?
Oh, Shaco's really busted on that map. There's AP Shaco, which I've seen a lot of people fail at. The best AP Shaco I've seen thus far when Ionian boosted into Morellos, and that meant that when most Shacos only get to place like one box at a plate, it means that whenever we were going to try and take one of his points, you're running into two boxes, and those boxes fixed is insane. I've always thought like that ability was one of the best abilities in the game overall. Like, it's an AoE fear. There's like no other ability that's that kind of like debilitating to a team. And so when you're able to like camp points with that, it's really gross. And I usually go AD and I get that storm shield, and oh man, he goes in so hard, and with that penetration buff, he really enjoys it, because Shaco's the character you really want to front load so he can deal a ton of damage. And with that extra penetration, like, I think he really benefits in late game. I've always felt like late game Shaco can 1v1 anyone with like a good ult, and you know, proccing his Jack in the Box, he can 1v1 anything. I think he might be the best character on the map.
Well, since we're talking about kind of the best characters on the map, let's go about our top three best characters on the map. You know, Greg has already mentioned Shaco, so would you put Shaco at your number 1, 2, or 3, Greg?
I'd put Shaco at 1. With Jax close behind, I think it's more of like a preference thing. I think Shaco played perfectly is probably better than Jax, but 9 times out of 10, Jax is better than Shaco. But I like to go with sort of the ideal. I'm more of an idealist, so I think Shaco is the most overpowered champion on that map. And a lot of people have mentioned Akali, but I actually like Karthus as my third best, because he defends points better than anyone else, and he caps points close to better than anyone else. He just goes onto a point and dies. And so if you want to initiate, me and Jamal were playing, and he actually just dove onto a point where we were like, that's stupid, don't do that. And we ended up wiping them and taking the point. We're like, oh, and he was back up for like the next team fight. So I really like Karthus on that map, and I really like Jax, and I really like Shaco. So 1 would be Shaco, 2 would be Jax, 3 would be Karthus for me.
And that translation was Jay Mazing's Karthus, but it's okay. It's okay. I would say that my top 3, 1. So I don't play Rammus, but I've seen tons and tons and tons of good Rammuses on that map, just because like his power ball can get you from bottom to top so fast, especially if you pop Ghost at the correct time, and then you go through the little speed boost that's near the middle of the map. You can beat the top of the map before anyone else. I would put Rammus, I'm going from 3 to 1. I'm going to put Rammus at my 3, because I really feel like his mobility is kind of insane, and also he's super defensive. My number 2 is, I know I've been talking a lot about Yorick as of last week, but Yorick is just so good on this map. I don't even know if he's better for offense or for defense. Because, like, on offense, he can go to top and literally, instead of it being a 4v4 fight, it's a 4v4.5. You know, with him spamming out. Well, actually, yeah, 4v4.5. Because he has 3 ghouls starting off, one which gives him life gain, one that slows the team, and one that has this crazy proc. People are so busy fighting, they don't know necessarily who to focus. If your whole team focuses the right person, especially with that slow and with that life gain and with that Q proc, like, he's putting out so much damage. And you can start him off with, like, Tyrion boots so he can just get up there. And by the time he goes back, he has his Manimal finish. And number one is definitely Karthus. Karthus, I think, as much as I like to go offensive with Karthus, I think Karthus going defensive is actually just correct. You can either go... I've been going Ghost Ignite, but I honestly think Ghost Promote might be correct. Because you have that... I saw Greg earlier playing a little bit of Nunu, and he had Nunu with Promote, and he was like, eat a minion, make a minion big. Blood Bowl that minion.
Oh, yeah, that was fun. And I got an Atmogs and a Death Cap on him. It was just so troll.
Yeah, like, it just seemed like it would be really hard to push against. And I think Karthus with a little bit of that extra energy behind him, it would be really good. Also, once you capture a point and you're pushing forward, his wall takes up the entirety of bottom lane. So if you just don't want anyone to pass, they just don't pass. They just don't get the move at all. Rue, what about yourself? What has been your experience from your 3-1 of your best characters you've seen on the minion?
Number 3, I'm just going to put Rammus. Number 2, Kassadin. Number 1, Jax.
Why Kassadin?
Oh, Kassadin's sweet.
He can go across the entire map, and if they're out of position, you can just punish so hard. You can trap them between towers, and then your teammates chase them. His burst is ridiculous. Get a little bit of AP. You can kill most people in the game. The times I've played him have just been so crazy. I think I lost the game, but you just rack up so many kills.
Yeah, my thing with Kassadin is I think, even though I don't think AP is like the most, or AP burst, non-Akali AP burst isn't the most viable thing, he's probably the best AP caster, because I don't think any single caster in the game scales better into the late game than Kassadin, with his mobility and his huge burst and his silence. Like, there's no character that can really match that. Like, what I'll do is when the other team's on points, is I'll run, you know, I'll like glide in and queue them, and I'll flashback before they can, you know, trap me under their tower or anything. So I've actually taken a lot of points by just harassing someone down underneath their tower with casting, because he's really mobile. And that's one of the keys. Also, like, a big point I want to make is how important low cooldown ults or, like, passive ults like Jax are important, because if you have a character like a Mumu who only has an ult every... What's the cooldown on his ult? I don't know.
160, I think?
Yeah, 160. 160?
Like, respawn timers are like 20 seconds or something. So that means that he's only going to be able to ult, you know, once per 6 spawns or something like that. It's really clunky. So, like, a short cooldown ult like that on Kassadin, that means he's always getting the max effectiveness in every teamfight from his skill set.
Okay. Kyle, what would you say you're 3-1 on that map?
I'd say there are too many roles for just 3, but I'd say that even though Rammus is really good, I really think Eve or Twitch are probably the best backdoor cappers because they're invisible. Like, you can see, even though Rammus is super fast, you can see him coming. You can't see Eve or Twitch coming, and as soon as they're visible, they're capping your point. I think that's a huge advantage. I'd say, I haven't seen Kassadin played at all. I thought he was very good, but I can't play Kassadin. I just haven't seen him played once. I would say, instead of Kassadin, for second pick, I'd probably go Vayne, because she is just ridiculous. And first is probably Jax, because he's Jax.
Now, Kyle, if Kassadin had a bear form, would you be able to play him better?
He does. It's his ult. It just kills them instead of stuns them.
Yeah, I saw Jax for the first time ever actually 1v4. Like, no other champions around, him against 4 other champions. Granted, like, they weren't all at full health and most of their summoners were down, but he literally jumped on 4 champions that were defending a point against him, and he killed all 4 of them. I've never seen that in League.
Yeah,
absolutely. That was gross. But actually, my first experience to get to play, I wanted to give a special shout-out, and thank you, actually, to Dan Dan. So, when Dominion first came out, she was like, hey, Dominion's going up, you should try it out. The menu went up, we tried it out a little bit, and I was like, oh, this map is really fun, and then he had to go to lunch. So he ended up having to go to lunch, and then I saw Dan Din on, and just to say how nice of a guy he is, I was like, hey, Dan, are you busy? He's like, no. I was like, want to play Dominion? He's like, sure, but I have 2 people. And then the second person he invited was Ra-Ra XT, which I guess is a high up there player. Do you know this player at all?
I think they're a writer for you now.
Ra-Ra XT?
I played with them a couple times. I played with him in Classic. I don't know if it's a girl.
Okay. I think.
But yeah, I've seen him around.
Yeah, I was told it's a girl. But we all know girls don't exist in League of Legends. Right. Joking. Kidding. But no, so.
I played with Xspecial. I was playing with 5-Hit, and we ended up playing with like Special and Neo Illusion, so that was sweet.
Yeah,
Neo Illusion's awesome. He's one of the head guys at Team Liquid, the low section. Sorry, go ahead.
No, shout out Team Liquid.
I was going to get a question. Yeah. What do you guys think? So I got to play with Dandan, and like when I played with him on the map, he was doing good, and he was like really mobile. He like knew how to, you know, to kind of pick up the characters really fast. And Greg, you got to play with Special. Would you say that a person who is a high level competitiveness at this game in fives, that skill automatically transfers over to Dominion, or is it so different of a game that it doesn't necessarily just auto transfer over?
Well, I'll go first. I think if you're good at video games, you're good at video games. And even though the game is a lot different, and I don't think they compare on a lot of levels, I don't think Summoner's Rift and Dominion compare a lot. A guy like Dandan is just naturally good at video games. A guy like Special is just naturally good at these games. So they're going to adapt and be one of the best at the game instantaneously, especially when you compare him to like your average Joe. Like, your average player is not going to beat Special at most video games. Your average player isn't going to beat Dandan at most video games. You know, if you put Dandan on a couch with some guy who's never played Halo before, and like neither one of them's ever played Halo before, I guarantee you Dandan's going to figure out quicker than anyone. You know, the guys that are on like CLG, Epic Gamer, Rock Solid, all those like really high level players, like they're kind of like, you know, naturally talented at the game. It's more than just tryharding, I feel.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up, because I was talking to someone about this recently. Only in the past, I'd say 2 years, I've actually become a real gamer. I think I've played video games all my life just to play them, but now I'm all into looking at all these free small games, trying to figure out how to win at them, and yeah, being a gamer's awesome and nerdy. But back to the original thing, like for me playing Dominion, I lost the first 4 games because I didn't know what was going on, like towers were killing me, and then once I figured it out, I stopped dying as much, and pretty much 99% of the stuff transfers over, because a lot of it is like who's gonna win a fight and how to kite and how to escape and stuff. That all transfers over, but just gotta get used to the map.
Wait, did you not immediately go to playing Singe? Because I'm actually surprised.
I played him, and then I kind of figured he was really bad, but he's mobile. But, yeah, I don't like him too much on that.
Okay. That's for us. So, well, we're going to go ahead and segue into the next. We're going to go talk a little bit about the new champion that's coming out. Okay, so the new champion is the Caster. What was the name again? Greg, do you have it? Or Kyle, do you have the name?
Oh, we should look it up.
Starts with an X.
Yeah, it starts with an X, and it's not Xin Zhao.
It's Zeratul, I think.
It's Zareth, straight from StarCraft 2.
Oh, is that what it is? I don't play StarCraft 2. Zareth, so almost. X-E-R-A-T-H.
Okay, yeah, let me go ahead and bring it up. It's Zareth, the Magus Ascendant. So they just released the skills for this character not too long ago, and the character seems interesting. The lore itself is pretty cool. So the lore that they have for the character, you know, kind of like the Yamosia Caster. He was unbalanced by power. He went after absolute power. He ended up destroying himself. You know, the usual, I want the power, and then killed himself. But anyway.
Actually, that's not entirely true. He was getting power for his nation.
He
destroyed his body, but he was going to use it for his nation, but they became afraid, so they turned against him. He got betrayed by his nation. Like, this isn't Zillion, where he seeks so much power he accidentally warps time and destroys the entire town.
But he destroyed... Okay, if you're going at the... When I read the story, the thing that I got up was that he was going after power. He got so much power that it destroyed his body, and his nation was like, hold a second. Like, this dude is willing to destroy his body. Who knows how far he would go? And then they threw him in, like, sarcophagus.
Just call it the coffin.
Sarcophagus, son. But anyway, so I'll talk a little bit about his abilities. So his passive is he feeds on arcane power, making him increasingly resilient to physical harm. He converts a percentage of his ability power into armor.
That's sweet.
Yeah, so, like, think, I guess, Galeo, but backwards almost, but into armor.
That's not backwards.
Well, okay, so Galeo's magic resist turns into ability power, right?
Yes.
And his ability power turns into armor. That was kind of backwards. But yeah, so, anyway, his ability power turns into armor. That's his passive. His first skill is a long-range beam of energy, deals magic damage to all targets hit, so AoE something. Lotus of Power.
And it says long range. It's probably a skill shot, right?
Yeah.
I'm thinking something like a short range Lux laser, maybe.
I'm pretty sure all of his are skill shots by the look of it.
That would be sick.
Oh, his E looks like a target. I don't know. Keep going, Jamal.
As the Lotus of Power, he anchors himself to a source of magical power, increasing the range of all spells, granting him percentage magic penetration. Although he is immobilized, while Lotus of Power is active, his movement speed increases upon disabling the ability. So that confuses me. I'm kind of lost by that.
Oh, that's sweet. So basically, it's like a steroid for his spells, where they get more range, so that means he may be really strong in range. But the downside, oh, and more magic penetration, so they'll deal, like, he just busts all of his spells. It's a spell steroid, but then he loses his mobility, so he's kind of stuck in lane. And then it follows up with when he kind of breaks out of that little channel for, like, casting abilities, he gets a bunch of move speed. So he can kind of, like, you know, like, after, like, maybe sacrificing some positioning for being stuck in one place, he gets to, you know, make up for it by moving really quickly.
Okay, that makes sense.
So you probably do, like, chains, and then Locus of Power, and then your ult or something.
Yeah, it looks like
you'd run right into them and do that kind of thing.
Probably kind of combo. Let me read magic mage change. Deals magic damage to an enemy, marks them with unstable magic. The next spell strikes the enemy with and stuns them. So kind of a la Brand, I guess.
Yeah, I was saying Kyle. I think that's more like a targeted. That's probably targeted.
Mm.
Then his ult, AoE, right?
Calls down a blast of a pain engine, deals magic damage to all enemies in the area, so that would say AoE. Maybe cast it 3 times before going
into them. Wow. So you're using your Q to get in there, the beam of energy, and then you're gonna chain them, and then you're gonna Locus of Power, and then ult, and then use your beam again. Wow.
Oh, I think you're gonna use your chain, and then you're gonna stun them with your Q.
Yeah.
I don't know. It'll be sweet. He sounds like a dope team fight champion.
Yeah, absolutely. And, like, a lot of stuff that, like I said, the combo kind of brandish seems like it'll be interesting, because at first Brand came out, a lot of people didn't know how to use him. Then they started, like, just getting the timing down, and then started getting really, really good at using Brand. I'm a big fan of casters. Like, if anyone who's played with me knows, I suck at ranged AD. Sorry. I just do not know how to play them. And the only melee people I'm, like, okay with are the melee people who I play light casters. So another caster coming out, I'm extremely hyped.
I'm excited too. I just remember a stream of ADs that are overpowered. Grand, Noriana. So, yeah, I'm excited.
So it'll be interesting. Well, we can't go too far into detail about what the champion does, because, for one, we don't have any ratios. And that's the big thing.
Right.
Depends on what a character's ratios are.
Ratios, base damage, cooldowns, all those things matter.
Range absolutely. Would be nice.
Yeah, the range.
Range,
so,
yep.
So we can only speculate but so much, but I'm absolutely looking forward to this character. But let's go ahead and move to the next thing real quick. Scrimming. There's a... go ahead and actually... I want you to go ahead and take the lead on this one in regards to the scrim matches.
There's been a lot of scrim matches starting to be streamed. If you look before DreamHack and WCG, the teams really kept it secret. They wouldn't even talk about when they were scrimming. They'd all turn off their streams and stuff. Now they're starting to stream, so people, if you want to improve and become competitive, you should really start watching these games, because you're seeing, like, the best players in the world practice and make comments about what they could have done better. And they're actually pointing out mistakes that they're doing when they're scrimming. If you want to learn and be the best, you should probably just copy the best and really watch these scrims if you're able to. You're seeing a lot of games where you think one team is definitely going to win, and then you just see amazing play, and the other team wins. So tune in, and don't use Adblock.
Where are you watching? Where would be a good place for a player to watch these scrim matches going on?
It would be solo mid or CO Gaming, probably.
Oh, I was thinking more like own.tv and what's the... Oh, yeah. I guess we could just, like, tag them in the show notes or whatever, but...
Yes.
Solo Mage's channel, they always, like, put up a scrim every once in a while.
Yeah, actually, there was a scrim that happened not too long ago. It was between Team Solo Mid and COG. It happened sometime in the afternoon. I can't remember exactly when, but it was a really exciting match, because I was on, was it Chowex? Yeah. I was on Chowex's stream. I was watching the stream, and then he was just doing a couple solo matches, and then everything just stopped for a moment. And then you see him talking to a couple of people on his team, and the next thing you know, you see the invites go out, and you see Hotshot GG and Big Fat LP and Elements. And then the next thing you know, it's like they're doing a draft mode scrim. And also, would you have this is a question for both of you guys. Would you say that the inclusion of draft mode normals encourages people to actually scrim more. Because, like, that way they don't have to be in a ranked game, and instead of, like, setting up and calling out the bans and calling out the picks, it makes it, like, way more easier to go to a custom game, go to normal draft mode, and then actually set up a scrim match.
I thought they could always do the, like, ban mode or whatever.
Yeah, you could always do it in custom before, I believe, but now...
Not always, but...
The problem with ranked fives is you don't gain any elo for winning. So, right now... it's pretty ripe for competitive play. It's going to take a couple months for the high elo people to be high elo, and then you'll start seeing impressive games in normals. And if you try hard normals, you'll start running into these people, I think, if they're not playing ranked.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, because the thing I was going to go into real quick in regards to the scrimming. So you were saying before that, you know, before they would cut off their screens and they wouldn't show their streaming, and they would keep it, like, really to themselves and really quiet. Do you think that they have been picking up doing scrims more just because of how, with the European teams, they always have their best of their best going against each other? They always have their ones and two going against each other. They always have their best teams trying out against each other. So when those guys went to tournaments, they were so used to playing as a team instead of just, oh, well, we're going to constantly do solo queues, and we know we're good enough as players, and we'll just mesh eventually.
Yeah, it's become pretty apparent that solo queue is a whole different beast from competitive fives, and right now they put out, what was it, 5 million? So yeah. These teams are gonna they're gonna want to win these competitions and get some money, so they need to get serious and start practicing. So I'm really glad that they're doing that, and now that they're streaming it, it's really good for the fanboys and for the community in general to learn. But definitely I think everyone's realized that they need to scrim and practice really hard, because Europe ain't no joke.
Yeah,
not anymore.
Solo mate's kind of like leading off the like try hardest of the tryhards with the their house that they're moving into. Like that's what, you know, professional StarCraft gamers are doing over in Korea. So, you know, all those teams have their own houses where they just play StarCraft. So, you know, it's probably just a matter of time till it starts really picking up here for LoL. Like, how is any team that just solo queues all day going to beat a team that's living in a house together, playing all day, every day together?
It's even more important. See, StarCraft's a solo game, right? So you're living with these people, but you have, like, the Terrans, the Zergs, and the Protoss all usually in separate rooms, but they live together and practice with each other. But this is a fives team that always plays together, and they're going to know each other so well. The teamwork is just going to get really amazing in the next coming year.
Yeah, I think this is actually a really positive move and a really positive step in the right direction, because I'm excited to see how this tournament season is going to be. Like, so far, the tournament games that I've seen are really good. The scrim matches are, like, really intense. Like, it can go either way. Everyone's skill level is just constantly going up, going up, going up, and getting slightly higher. And it's going to get to a point where this is going to become the best season. I think that it's only a matter of time until more companies and more sponsors are going to want to, well, you know, hey, let's put money towards League of Legends. Like, do you see these guys? Let's get more sponsors. Let's get more ads. You know, and things along those lines. Because if that's to happen, then this game is just going to constantly keep growing and it won't stop.
Yeah, I think a big thing with people getting better is we're approaching the skill ceiling. No one's hit it yet, but it's going to be hit someday, which is they CS every creep and they know what to do. They ward correctly. They use their spells, timing perfectly, everything. And it's going to be really scary, but you're going to see a lot of really good games coming up.
Yeah, I would like to think that there is, like, basically no skill ceiling for this game. Like, StarCraft, like, real sports, like, there just isn't one. Or, you know, that's just what I would like to think, because it you know, gives everyone a chance to, you know, it's just, like, more of, like, how good are you compared to everyone else, as opposed to, like, oh, well, I've just hit the ceiling. Like, I know how to play tic-tac-toe perfectly. This game's just, like, a different beast entirely, you know? This is, you know,
I agree.
But you're right, like, these players, like, you're watching guys like Chowster and Big Fat GG get better, and that's terrifying to think about, that, like, guys that are the best at this game are just getting better. Reginald was talking about his team and was like, yeah, we just need to get better. And, you know, when you have the top teams talking like that, it's just kind of... And like Root said, it's kind of scary to think how good these guys are going to be come the Season 2 championship.
Absolutely. Kyle, you were going to make a comment?
Yeah, I agree with Root. I think there is a skill ceiling, because in games like StarCraft, where there isn't really, the reason there isn't is, I feel, because there's a lot of unknown factors. You, like, in Magic, you're trying to mitigate the unknown factors as much as possible when you're playing it. In League of Legends, you see what the opponent has when they come into lane. You see their champions, you see their summoners. There's very little left to the imagination. Like, in that brief period where they back and buy something, you don't know what they have. But as soon as they come back to lane, you know. And with, like, proper warding, you even mitigate the unknown of the jungle. And I do think eventually it is possible to hit a skill ceiling because there's not enough unknown in League of Legends.
What about in regards to, like, team comps, though? Okay, yes, every champ, you know, people know what champions do, but, like, you can build this champion AD, you can build a champion AP, you can build a champion support. You could run different team comps. You can have different lane combinations. Like, let's think of it this way. There's 80 champions in a game now, right? About 80 to 85 some odd champions. And, yes, there's multiple different ways that you can duel them together or lane them together. Like, I still think that there's enough stuff out there where people can be, what's the word I'm looking for?
Innovate.
There we go. That they can innovate. That they can innovate, like, you know, support Ashe. Who knows if support Ashe just pops off or support Heimerdinger. Like, these things can happen.
They can happen, but also I think you see in draft what they're picking. Like, tournaments are run in draft. It's just, again, it's mitigating the unknown. So,
yeah, I mean, you can always counterpick them easily no matter what they pick, usually. Speaking of supports, Shaco support bottom is really good because you just throw boxes everywhere and they can't gank you ever. It's amazing. So, yeah, I think there's definitely room for characters to switch roles. There's definitely room for people to improve on last hitting and warding. But, yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with being able to buy wards. StarCraft, you can't buy wards. You can use observers and stuff, but you could ward the entire map and know exactly what's going to happen. So you can actually calculate what they're going to do according to, you know, how much AP they have and stuff. You can beat the other team by just playing strategically better and not trying to do clutch things.
Well, yeah, but you know, the skill ceiling goes both ways. Like, as good as a laner gets, like, that just means that jungler's going to figure out how much further he can dive. So, I mean, and that's, like, the exciting part about it is, you know, like, as good as you can get at counter, at warding and at laning, you can get just as good at counter warding and ganking. Yeah. So, you know, that's why I don't think there's an actual skill ceiling that we're ever going to see. Because even in StarCraft, where, like, they know exactly what the other person's doing, like, you know, they could both play like a perfect game, like, or close to perfect, but, you know, there's still going to be something that leads the other player to win. And it's almost always skill-based when you get to that high of a level of play. And, you know, and then it becomes like a psychological game. You know, it becomes more of a, you know, can I outthink the other player that I'm, you know, the other team that I'm playing against. And when you have five heads going at it, it becomes, like, there's so many more ways to outplay people.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting to see. I personally am excited about the upcoming season and all the things that's going to occur. I'm really excited about it. But anyway, so before we move off of scrims, you were saying something earlier about, so actually, it's like Greg. So TSM is moving and they have a house together. CLG, they're starting to scrim together. Rock Solid just got picked up by Digitest. So other than those three teams, what's the other three teams, or what other teams are there that's actually in contention? Like, does Well see them? Like, I haven't seen much from Well. I know that Double Lip is on Curse. I was actually taking a glance at the rank pre-made fives. Two people from Curse look to be in the top 50. The number two is Curse SJ. JSURA. I have no idea who that is. But, you know, you have Curse Gaming who's up and coming. How often? Well, basically, the question I guess I'm trying to ask is, how soon into more people are going the way of TSM where they're like, hey, you know what, we got to go to the next level and get a house together, or we got to go to the next step and all be in the same city, or all play at the same place at the same time? Like, how serious are teams going to have to get to be able to compete with the 1 and 2? Because without saying it, the 1 and 2 right now are CLG and Team Solo Mid. They seem to be neck and neck with each other, followed closely by
Rock Solid and Curse. Right.
I was going to say EG.
Oh, well, I mean, I don't know. I actually think Rock Solid has been having the best tournament results. Root, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, Rock Solid has been amazing.
But again, I think it's going to come down to who puts in, like, the most tryhard effort. Like, Team Soulmid is moving in together. I'm sure those the European teams that are, like, completely sponsored, like, they're right there too, you know. We're changes from, like, oh, let me, like, try and incorporate League of Legends into my life, like, as how do I build my life around League of Legends? you know, like, when you're living in a house with all guys, are like, all right, we're practicing from 10 a.m. till 7 p.m. or something, you know, as opposed to like, oh, we can play it. I'm free at 12. Oh, I'm free at 1. Oh, I guess we can't play today, you know, like, the teams that get on that same page like that, they're going to be the ones that aren't actually staying a chance and, you know, in the next season. Oh, and an interesting thing. I've played a lot of ranked fives lately. Not a lot, but I've seen so many teams with, like, clan tags. Not necessarily high elo, but it's kind of funny because I see, you know, like...
Was it HLN? Was it
HLG? I've seen so many, I can't even count them, like, you know, point them all out. But, you know, some people are paying the $20 to have the same tag. I mean, you know, they want to at least give it a shot, and I can respect that effort.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was, I was spending a couple of games with Greg, and where we went against one team, I'm pretty sure they were all Japanese, because, well, first of all,
those guys were awful.
Yeah, they pulled off an amazing gank, where I dropped my water bottle and wouldn't watch the screen, and then when I looked up, there were five people killing me.
Yeah, amazing gank.
I wasn't watching the screen, and I died, guys. Yeah, they were so good.
They were amazing. They were absolutely amazing. And then, like, after that part, it was like, what would happen after that? So they did a five-man gank, and then after they did the five-man gank and caught me in the bush with my pants down, latching my water bottle down, then they did another gank, and I started off the game 0-2, and I just started, like, focusing, and then I realized that the person I was going against was awful. And then, Greg, were you playing Shaco that game?
Yeah, that's why I was really mad, because he just died protecting my blue buff.
But... to be fair, I started off the game 0-3 and I ended off the game 6-3-12. Greg came to my lane. The cat in my lane was pretty hard.
Oh, that game? Oh, God.
Yes.
Oh, man.
That was the all Japanese. We actually just came back and crushed. And, like, I didn't know they were Japanese. I was like, yeah, you know you done messed up, right? I got my first couple of kills. You know you done messed up, right? And then they wrote back in kanji.
Wow.
So... Kind of hard to argue with that. You can't really talk crap when you can't write back in kanji.
One of my big suggestions to people who want to, like, get a team together, if they want to try and try hard, like, you know, Team Solo Mid and CLG and Rock Solid, Odd One posted a quick little vlog talking about how he got his first team together for some little League of Legends tournament, and he just was, you know, talking about, you know, finding players on similar skill levels. Finding teams to scrim against. I know even Stonewall was like, man, I'm looking for people to scrim against. So people that are trying to get these teams together are like, you know, if you want to do it, I don't think it can hurt to try. Like, yeah, you're probably going to get crapped on a lot, but, you know, you never know. When it's all said and done, you never know.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You could be really good at the game. And you don't know. Maybe your five team works together amazingly. You win, like, 30 games in a row. Just go for it.
What team are you going to get on, man? I'm waiting for you to be on, like, a sub on something.
Hawaiian Gaming.
Yeah, I subbed a couple of teams and played in a couple of tournaments, but no, I haven't decided if I want to play competitive and try hard.
What happens to...
I didn't really plan to get high elo. It just happened. See people? See?
Wasn't there a team you had, like Pineapple and Sweetbread or something like that? Like
Spam?
Yeah.
Spam Gaming.
Spam number one.
Spam Sushi Gaming or something like that?
But, I don't know. Well, I'm looking. Any high elo teams want to recruit somebody? Let me know.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. He can also put you in the triangle if you get you out of place.
I will put you to sleep. You have darkness in your head. No, I'm just kidding.
Darkness! Sorry. So let's go ahead and we're going to go ahead and... Let's go ahead and wrap it up, though. So let's go with the last thing I want to talk about is what everyone has been playing. You know what? Mine's almost the same as last week. Yorick, Karthus, Galeo. I feel Galeo's nuts solo top. I feel like Karthus is amazing mid, and I feel like Yorick is, like, really nuts solo top. I know I've been saying it for, like, the past 2 weeks, so I'll just go ahead and let it lay, but Karthus, best character in the game. Greg, what about you?
So I've been playing a ton of Dominion, and he's like my pet character that I really like, even though I don't think he's one of the best. I think he could be. He's probably like tier 1 or 2 if I was going to make a tier list for Dominion, is Wukong. I was playing a lot of Wukong on the Dominion map, and I'm making a solo mid guide, so everyone go like look it up. I'll put a link in the show notes. I've also been playing a lot of AD Sion in Dominion.
Oh, my God.
The dude hits so hard. He 1v1s anyone once you get, like, your Infinity Edge and your Triforce, because you stun them, and then you crit them twice, and it doesn't matter what they think they are, they're dead. And lastly, I've been playing a lot of support Janna, because my Janna is, like, I think my Janna is, like, my best character. Like, if I was, like, going to try out for a 5-stand, I'd be like, I play a really good support Janna. If they're like, what's your character? I'd be like, my Janna is best.
You saw it. What about you? What have you been playing this week?
I've been playing Singe, Tryndamere, Jax, Cat, Blitzcrank, Caitlyn. I think that's it.
Has no one been playing Riven? Like, didn't they buff that character? Isn't she better now or something?
Yeah,
the price is too high.
She has higher total AD ratios than even Lee Sin right now.
But no one still doesn't play her at all.
Yeah, I hate that character. She has, so, like, if you want to, like, run the numbers on her, there's just too many numbers to run, so I just give up and hope she's never picked, so I don't have to figure out what she does.
I don't remember what it is, but something like an 8? That seems stupidly high. Return ratio, if you count all her abilities, but her Q does proc 3 times, so.
Yeah, exactly. Screw that.
It's kind of mad. What about you, Kyle? What have you been playing this week?
I've been playing mostly Akali and Lee Sin, trying to get out of jungle roles.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
I thought you lived in the jungle. That's why you had, like, the beard and everything.
No. I learned the jungle because it was my worst role, and then I got pigeonholed into running it, even though I hate it. So I decided to stop doing jungle.
But I've seen you go bear form in real life.
Just walk up to a bunch of dogs sitting outside of like a coffee shop and like, good God, Kyle, it's not Wolf Camp. Just like lit them all on fire, like nice Phoenix form, buddy.
No, I do love Udyr, but you know.
Running down the street with your arms behind you. I mean,
you know when the wind blows correctly, and I feel like it.
Gets the wind going through his hair just the right angle.
Oh, man. But, alright, but this has been another episode of 25MTS. Like I said, we're going to... Guys, actually, you know what, fans? I want you to write us on our Facebook page and actually email me. I want to see if you believe... I'm trying to work on a couple things in regards to the show. And let me know... Oh, wait a minute. Before I forget. So, there is something else I wanted Kyle to hit real quick. It's a 10-win... What is it? What's the exact website, Kyle?
10winstreak.com. It is... It's a website for a Child's Play charity, and it's got a bunch of people who are playing and streaming League games. The catch is when you sign up, anybody can join it. You choose one character, and you stream games with that character until you get 10 consecutive wins in a row.
That's kind of dope. So does the money go to charity, or do you pick your own charity? How exactly does it work?
No, people chip in. I haven't quite figured out how it works, because if you click on chip in, it just takes you to a donate. It doesn't tell you really why, but you donate and it goes to Child's Play, which is a charity for, I'm not 100% sure.
And that seems like, you know what, like, playing a game that you like to play anyway and helping out someone else.
God, what is Child's Play for? I can't think of it right now.
I haven't been hearing about it.
Oh, it was a movie with a scary doll.
Yeah, that's one thing. There was something else.
I think it's for, like, maybe disabled or impoverished kids.
It's an organization for gamers to donate to hospitals, essentially.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
and, like, I know Penny Arcade does Desert Bus.
Well, yeah, so if you want to check out this site, go to www.winstreak.com. It'll also be in the show notes, so you can definitely check it out. It's something that's going to be really cool. What else in regards to? Yeah, that's pretty much. Oh, and Root. So, are you going to play 10 games of Singe?
Oh, how do I sign up? Do I go to 10winstreak.com, 10winstreak.com, 10winstreak.com?
Yep.
Okay, let's do it.
All right, well, this has been another episode of 25 Minutes to Surrender. Remember, you can always contact us on our Gmail at the number 5, MINSTO surrender@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at 25MTS. Follow us on our Facebook. It's group is 25MTS. Please, I actually want to hear back from you guys, especially if you feel free to contact us on Twitter. I have it connected to my phone. Okay? So if you hit us up with a message on Twitter, it'll go to my phone and I will absolutely see it. I want to know what you thought of this episode. We're trying some new recording stuff. I've been listening to the fans, so definitely let me know what you guys think. Okay? But other than that, you always remember, ask all your questions in League of Legends is
carry on. Listen to more dubstep.
Please,